Thank you, Claire, for the brief introduction. So good morning, LGC. It's a joy to be able to worship with you all again this morning, and it's good to be back. And speaking of coming back, it's been a crazy 2024, as you might have known. So much has happened, and even the last 4 years has been a bit of a roller coaster. But as some say, there are some things that are constant in life, right? There's death, there's taxes, and there is, in at least in North America or Vancouver, gratuity. You can't really get away from it, right? Just coming out of the pandemic, it makes me appreciate how good it was, unless you work in a restaurant, but how good it was to just be eating takeout and not have to pay tips. Because no matter whether you're going to a lower kind of normal establishment or something that is grand and highly acclaimed, you're always doing the same thing, right? There is always, when you get to the end of your meal, the screen that you always dread, right? And it tends to guilt trip you more now. It doesn't only give you the percentage now. It actually gives you a description to feel like you need to be obliged to pay a certain percentage just to satisfy what kind of service they offer you, right? But of course, as time goes, people get more creative and they do different ways to attract your extra giving, right? So they would do creative ways to put in their tip jar as a way to get more tips, right? And it just keeps going, right? People are really, really, really creative when they talk about giving tips to each other. And speaking of which, right, if you think today's message is a blessing to you and you got something out of it, speaking of which, how about you consider doing a little bit of an offering to support some poor pastors over there? I like how people pull out their phones. The QR code actually works, but yeah, anyways. So today we are going to a continuation of a sermon series that I know you guys have been working on to talk a little bit about what worship is and what worship as a community is about. And as a guest speaker, we always get the short end of the stick. So today we get to preach about a topic that the insight pastor usually don't want to talk about, which is on offering. And so thank you, Avery, for letting me choose this topic. And so as we continue to talk about this, right, and going through the series of Psalms together, I think it is very fitting for us to look at this topic through the lens of one of these Psalms that talks about sacrifices and offering, which would be Psalm 50. And this is a psalm that is known by the people of God in the Old Testament, where they would gather and rediscover, renew, and recontinue the covenant together with God. And so this is a way for them to understand when they gather to worship, part of what they do is giving an offering. But as they're doing the offering, there is a symbolic reason behind why they go and make these offerings and sacrifices. And so it starts off by proclaiming the parties of the covenant, right? It talks about who is this God that they have chosen and have been chosen to enter into a covenant relationship with. And so it starts off talking about addressing, this is the Almighty God, the Lord, the name of the God that we worship. And this is the one who has power over all things, and his glory shines all over his creation, right? And of course, there's also the other party that is involved in this covenant. So you have one side, who is God, and the other, which is the worshiping cultist not cults, but cultists, which means the people of worship, that is the Israelites, right? And the call to them, as you remember in the covenant between God and Abraham, is that they are meant to be a set apart community with God. A community that is different from the world around them, so that they can be a blessing to them. I don't know why people are laughing so hard about this. So, if that is the case, right, and today we're talking about covenant, we're talking about community, and we're talking about worship, how shall we then engage this topic of giving and offering? Or more importantly, why do we even bother engaging in offering in worship? What is the significance behind our act of giving something that is ours to a God that owns everything? And so if you look at Psalm 50, it actually focuses not so much on why you should give or what offering is about, but instead, the focus is actually primarily on what offering is not. And so these are the four different things that the psalmist through God through the psalmist has highlighted that offering is not. And even though we might on our lips understand and know these aren't the things that offering is supposed to be, but in our subconscious minds, and even myself, I would confess that we would come in that posture and actually treat offering as these very pitfalls in our worship. And so let's start off, right? Offering is not a tip, right? Offering is not a tip. What is even a tip, right? The tip is when someone does some services to you and you appreciate, you feel good about that service that is given to you, then you decided, oh, this is good, so I should give them something to appreciate what they did. But if we treat offering as a tip, we can't help but reduce God to become a servant. And we are the masters, right? That if they do something good, okay, you did great, so I'll give you something extra as a way to highlight that you've done something good to me. And when we do that, we come at a posture of pride, thinking we are above God, we are better than God, and we have a chance to give him something because we can. But of course, that's not what offering is, right? If you do that, you are understanding the whole concept of tip wrong. That tipping is not to be just out of a posture of higher standing, right? It's a posture of gratitude, a posture of appreciation. But of course, when we tip, we always come with that contempt, right? Like, I give you something, you better give me something good. And so that comes to the second issue that we deal with, right? But before that, as we talked about at the beginning of today's service, right, that he is not a servant of ours. He is God. And this is how God addresses to the people, right, to establish that relationship that he is our God, not just any God. He is the God that lords over us, and he is the one that knows our needs, our wants, and provides for us. And of course, an offering is also not an investment. So what is an investment? It's something where you think you can put some resource down and you will get more than what you have put into as a return, right? Something for those who did business or finance, right? It's all about the ROIs. Like, if you don't get your money's worth of your return, then it's not worth putting your resources in the first place. But the problem is, if we treat offering as an investment, then we would actually reduce God as a tool, as a means for our prosperity. that we come into the giving as a sense of greed that we want to get the most out of what we put into. And that if I give this resource or time or energy to God, I need to get way more than what I have asked for. And so if you do that, that would be quite dangerous. But this runs in a lot of the Asian cultures, or even in the ancient Greek and Roman cultures, right? They do worship and offer and sacrifice as a means of an investment, getting something more by giving very little, right? And even in the Chinese culture, right, there is actually a god of money. Like specifically, people would pay tribute to this god called the god of money, or in Cantonese, like Choi San Ye, so that you pray to him and you get more money in return. But of course, we have to think about the other side of the party. Why would they actually do that? It's because they need your money to do something with it, right? If you are an investor and you're someone who is being invested into, you're not just taking the money for no reason, but that you actually need that money in order to do something big. But in this very same psalm, right, God is saying that there's no need. Why would I ever need your bulls? Why would I ever need your goats? For every animal of the forest is mine, and the cattle on 1,000 hills. I know every bird in the mountains, and the insects in the fields are mine. So he actually owns everything already. He actually has everything he needs. So there is no reason for him to ask for your money to do great things. But that is sometimes the posture we come in, thinking, oh, we'll offer to the church and indirectly to God so that we can do amazing things. But God doesn't need it if he wants to do something. That's not the reason of why we offer. And so as we progress through these myths, right, or pitfalls, we see that the posture goes from one that is above, and it goes all the way to the bottom. And so as we continue, offering is also not an exchange or a transaction. Because when we see offering, and if we see offering as an exchange, we would reduce God to a vendor. And we come in a feeling of suspicion. We want to get our fair share. If we pay for something, we want to make sure that the value that we get in return at least matches what we put into. And so then the art is in the savings. It's about getting our fair share of the money back when we do offer, right? If that is the posture we take. And in the same time, when we do transaction, likewise, right? It's because both sides need something. The vendor needs money from us to sustain their business or sustain their livelihood, just as we need to get that good from them to fulfill something of desire or a need in our lives. But God continued to remind the people of God, right, that unlike the gods around the region, all these pagan gods that they come to know, or they have even have the chance to sinfully worship, he doesn't need to be fed. He doesn't need to meet any fleshly or even spiritual desires when you do offer these things to them. If I were hungry, I would not tell you, for the world is mine and all that is in it. Do I eat the flesh of bulls or drink the blood of goats, right? So there is nothing ever that God needs in order to satisfy that is from us. And so if that is not the reason why we offer, then what else? And as we continue, right, offering also is not a fine that you pay. It's not just you pay something in exchange for the penalty that you would face, right? If we treat offering as a fine, then we reduce God to become a parking officer. We come in a posture of contempt. Who would actually be happy to see the parking officer coming to you when he's issuing a ticket, or she is issuing a ticket, right? You would come in contempt and argue, no, like, I was actually almost here. I was only running for a quick errand. Like, I shouldn't be getting a ticket, right? But on the same token, you also come out of a posture, you know what, I don't care. I just pay this fine, I'm good. I don't need anything from you. Like, I just pay and I'll be good. It's just an exchange. You might think this is ridiculous, right? But people do this, right? In Taiwan, there was a news report recently, not too long ago, about a temple, a pagan temple, called the Wushan Shrine in Tainan. And so the reason why it got a lot of news coverage was inside the temple, someone actually put a menu on there. Talking about the various costs you can pay to cover different sins or vices that you've committed. And if you pay those amounts, they would purify you. They would actually do things that would cleanse you from the challenges and the sins you have gone through. Sounds really ridiculous, right? But if you don't know, about 500 years ago, this very same act was happening in the Catholic Church, something called the indulgence, where you can kind of pay for the HOV lane, so to speak, to get to heaven if you have the means to do it. We would come in a posture thinking we are above the code of law. We are above any ways of punishment as long as we have the resources to do it. But this is kind of what happens, right? Like, we can just fight ourselves and overcome these things and not worry a single thing about it. But this is what he says, right? No, like, you are called to sacrifice thank offerings for God. Fulfill your vows to the Most High and call on me in a day of trouble. I will deliver you and you will honor me. And this is not directly right below, but this is what he started off in the address of who God is, right? He is a God of justice. He is the embodiment of what is fair, what is just, and what is right. And if we are to come in that posture in our offering, thinking we are above that, we are going to be in trouble. And so if that is not what offering is about, then what is really the whole concept and the reason and the purpose behind the act of offering and worship? It's actually really funny if you look at linguistics, where the construction of words can change meaning the moment you add punctuations to it. So imagine if God is telling us to give thanks, but instead we think it's more about give, and then he'll thank us. Then the role would actually reverse upside down, right? We are the ones offering, and he has to be the one begging to thank for our services. But the answer of how we shall proceed or engage worship comes with the very thing that we're talking about this morning, right? The idea that we are here to reestablish or remind ourselves of this covenant that we are part of as a worshiping body. Gather to me this consecrated people who have made a covenant with me by sacrifice. And so if that's the case, then the offering and the sacrifices are means and a symbol to continue this covenantal relationship we have with God. And in particular, too, right, he mentions the concept of not just offerings, but the idea of a sacrifice thank offering. What does that even mean? Like, why sacrifice? Why thank? when you talk about offering? And I think the answer lies in the concept of what thanking means, or thanksgiving. It's this concept of gratitude. The idea that you are in awe and basically flabbergasted because of how amazing someone has been to you without anything asking in return. Borrowing quotes from a famous pastor and theologian, this is what he says. His love does not depend on us, but on his faithfulness. His love does not depend on us, but on his faithfulness. That as we are celebrating gratitude, as we're coming into posture, appreciating this relationship that we're able to have, is a posture knowing that his love endures, that his steadfastness overcomes in both good times and in challenging times. And this is where we get the difference between the idea of because and the idea of despite, right? If we come in the posture of these four different pitfalls that we talked about this morning, we are coming in the posture of because. I give because I get something in return. I give because I want to get and get out of jail card for something. I give and I donate because I want a good bargain for what I exchange. But if offering comes from a posture of despite, then everything gets flipped upside down. I choose to give to God. I choose to offer to God, even when times are tough. I choose to offer, even if God seems distant in my life. I choose to give, even when there are situations I don't understand and I am in financial hardship. And of course, if that's the case, right, it's not just about any kind of giving. But when we talk about offering, another extreme we deal with, if offering is not a way to give just resources or out of obligation, then we come to the extreme that saying anything goes. I can just give anything. It's almost like I can just give good vibes to God. Like, I love you, God. You're great. I'm just giving, sending some good vibes. And I did my share, right? And I did my obligation to offer. I offer something to God already, what you expect, right? But of course, that's not what God talks about. And that is the second point of this very passage that we're talking about, this idea of a sacrifice thank offering, that there is a sacrifice involved, right? All sacrifices are offerings, but not all offerings are sacrifices. And the unique thing about the thank offering is that this is not one out of something God has done for you, but instead this is one to remind the people of God of the relationship they have with Yahweh, with the triune God. And as we talk about sacrifices, right, something has to be sacrificed, which means something has to be consumed, something has to be out of your way, something that puts you into a sense of discomfort, something that means something to you. It's like if someone who has $1 million give 10,000, it may actually not mean much to them. It's just more or less an offering. But if someone is living on subsistence, living dollar to dollar by the day, and like that widow, right, give the two only coin that she has, that's a sacrifice she made in order to proclaim and understand the relationship he has or she has with God. And so as we are in the New Testament church, as we are in 2024, right, we don't do sacrifices the way they used to do anymore when they come to worship. We don't burn bulls or lambs or goats because I'm sure the fire department would not be pleased if we do that, right? But in the same way, as we know, through Christ, as we have sung earlier, on the cross, he has already been the ultimate sacrifice for us. So then how shall we approach offering? How shall we approach worship then? And it is from the very verse that we all come to know, right? In Romans chapter 12. To be that living sacrifice that we are called to be as the people of God, not conforming to the ways of the world, but be transformed and renewed by the Spirit. That we are constantly making decisions, constantly making concessions to our resources, our time, our energy, our efforts, in order to proclaim a sense of gratitude because of the love and care that God has first given to us. So what does that even mean to us? How is offering to our own lives? Because we talk a lot about what offering is not, but we never really talked about practically, how then shall we offer? What shall we offer? How frequent shall we offer? But I think that is something that you need to discover in your own terms with God, in your own relationship. If God is the God of glory, the God that is Lord over your lives, that's something that you need to consider, right? Like, what am I been blessed to proclaim in gratitude, to give to the kingdom of God? How shall I do it? And in what context should I be doing that? Whether maybe during the worship service or in your lives in the next 6 days outside of the church, right? And if you really want to learn what it is, right, maybe we can have a part two at some point. When I'm not tied to preach on Psalms, I can give you the answer in other passages when they're more explicit. But until then, I want to give you the challenge, right, in your lives after the service. Think about what offering means to you. How can you respond to this gratitude that you're experiencing in your Christian walk? Let's pray. Father God, we are thankful for the opportunity to gather and worship as a body. And as we continue to reflect, continue to give thanks, and continue to encounter and proclaim your glory, Lord, may you challenge us to learn how then shall we live out a life blameless and thankful to the relationship you have established with us. As we continue to walk this faith, may you empower us to take on the challenge to be a community that is different from the world around us. We give thanks, Lord, and we pray in your most precious name. Amen. Mm-hmm.